Answers Magazine, Volume 12.1, page 45. Bible and Culture Quick Takes. Saved from the Fire. An ancient scroll from the Pentateuch was so burned by fire, it was little more than lumps of charcoal. Archaeologists discovered the scroll in the 1970s when excavating a burned-down synagogue from AD 600, but it was impossible to unroll it without destroying the text. Until modern technology came to the rescue. Now, in some ways, it may rival the value of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The scroll turned out to be the oldest copy of Leviticus ever found in a synagogue. Unlike the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were produced by an offshoot of Judaism, this was a copy of the scriptures used by mainstream Jews, and its similarity to our modern text confirms the integrity of our copies. Called the En Gedi Scroll, the charred remains had lain in the holy ark of the town's synagogue, untouched since the village burned down. A team, led by computer science professor Brent Seals, pioneered a new process called virtual unwrapping to read the text by scanning the paper's layers without unrolling them. By creating a 3D computer model of the scroll, Seals was able to build a virtual, readable copy, revealing passages from Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. The En Gedi scroll dates to sometime in the AD 300s, or perhaps earlier. But the text is identical to the medieval text of the Hebrew Bible, known as the Masoretic text, in which modern translations of the Old Testament are based. The fact that the texts are exactly the same speaks volumes about the Levite priests who painstakingly copied the text from scroll to scroll. This finding powerfully validates our biblical text, which God has preserved. It will also help the field of archaeology, as we can now decipher many old, fragile scrolls once deemed unreadable.
Meet your next organ donor. Yesterday's science fiction is becoming reality. Federal funding was recently approved for research into adding human stem cells to animal embryos. Funding for creating these chimeras had been banned a year earlier, pending further study. The new proposal would also set up a panel to review the ethics of each proposal. Growing human cells in animal hosts is not new. Doctors test human cancer cells in rodents, looking for treatments. What makes this new research controversial is mixing human cells with animal cells at the embryonic stage. Scientists hope eventually to engineer pigs and other host animals to grow human organs, such as kidneys, for transplant. But chimera research has dangers as well. Ethicists are concerned about the potential devaluation of human life, as more people will undoubtedly claim humans are no different from animals. After all, you could say, it's just DNA. Saving lives by producing otherwise difficult-to-obtain organs is a noble goal, but Christians must watch this research closely and speak out boldly when scientists or others cross a line into practices that diminish the inherent value of humans as just fetal tissue or just DNA.
Guilty of scientific racism. The Chicago Field Museum is asking patrons to rethink the dangerous abuse of evolutionary ideas in a 1930s exhibit they displayed called Races of Mankind. The exhibit, which was displayed in different forms into the 1960s, consists of more than 100 bronze and stone statues depicting racial types around the world. Nearly 100 years later, the Field Museum is again displaying the exhibit. This time, to encourage visitors to reject the idea of scientific racism behind it. Racism existed long before Darwin's ideas. It has probably been around since God divided the people of the world at Babel. Fallen human beings naturally seize on excuses to hate others, especially those different from ourselves. But for a time, Darwinian evolution gave a veneer of scientific validity to institutionalized racism. Scientists and sociologists are beginning to recognize the dark connection between evolution and past efforts to devalue human dignity, admits Field Museum anthropologist Alaka Wally, who calls it scientific racism. Walney says the social Darwinists who guided this exhibit said that human cultural evolution was progressive, so that we went from primitive to barbaric to civilized. And then the civilized were always the Europeans. Now scientists are struggling to break that connection, but without letting go of evolution itself. A better solution is to embrace humanity's true history. We're all one blood, made in the image of God. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and Genesis chapter 9, verse 6.
Born gay is not scientific. A recent study published by the journal New Atlantis surprisingly concluded that no legitimate scientific study backs up the claim that people are born with a specific sexual orientation. Doctors Paul McHugh and Lawrence Mayer, both of Johns Hopkins University, boiled their findings down to two popular claims that are not supported by scientific evidence. The understanding of sexual orientation as an innate, biologically fixed property of human beings, and the hypothesis that gender identity is an innate, fixed property independent of biological sex. In simpler terms, people aren't born homosexual or born the wrong gender. At least, no scientific evidence supports those claims. For creationists, this news is not surprising. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, male and female, who complement each other. But as a result of Adam's fall, all of us are born with a personal penchant for sin. Some struggle with sexuality, some with drunkenness, some with other sins. In the midst of our struggles, Christians can take comfort knowing that Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin and will deliver anyone who turns to Him.